Well, this coming Friday, our nation is going to inaugurate a new president. And the end of one administration will occur and a new one will begin. And this is a time for us as a nation to reflect on where we have been and where we are going. We do this whenever a new occupant moves into the White House. It seems especially appropriate to be reflecting on that this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. As we think about our nation and who we are and who we want to be. And as we try to frame a discussion, as we try to think about our destiny as a people, this morning's lesson from Isaiah is a good place for us to begin. The words that the prophet spoke were directed to a people who were dispirited, who were broken, who were lost. We've mentioned before the book of Isaiah really consists of three separate eras, prophecies. And the verses we heard today come from the prophet. We think of the second Isaiah, who was at work during the time of the exile. So the people of Judah were living in a foreign land. Their country had been conquered. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple was no more. The monarchy had come to an end. And indeed, the Babylonians were happy to claim that their god Marduk had defeated the god of Israel. It was a time of existential loss. It was a time when people would be tempted to give up, to think that there was no hope for the future, that Israel's moment in the sun had come and gone. But the prophet believed otherwise. And he offered a word. He shared a call from God. Now, the lesson we heard this morning has, throughout the history of the church, been interpreted as pointing to Jesus, that he is the servant who is being mentioned in this text. And it's understandable why the church might make this claim. We believe that Jesus is called to save all the world. But if we are honest, we will admit that this is an anachronistic reading of the text. It is the church placing its vision and understanding of what the text should mean on what people heard hundreds of years before Jesus ever lived. And I think it's a good thing for us to recognize this. Because if the servant who is being described here is Jesus, and we're talking about God incarnate, then we might wonder, what role is there for us to help build God's just world? But if we look at the text as it was meant to be heard and understood, pointing to the people of that day in the Babylonian exile, we see that it was directed at women and men just like you and me. Now, if you listen carefully to the text, you may have noticed that there can be a little problem of interpretation. It's not clear whether it's directed at an individual or a nation. Rather than get caught up in this, though, one of my professors at Divinity School, Paul Hansen, observed that we don't need to make an interpretive choice. Instead, we can see the text pointing to individuals and to a community. And so, the people of Israel, oh so long ago, as individuals and as a nation, were told that they had a bright future ahead of them, that they were still called by God to do his work. Now, that work wasn't necessarily going to be easy. They were going to have to dig deep and reach inside and believe in themselves. Believe that they could restore their community. And then when they were done with that, that they would be able to go
and share God's way with the world.
They were called to be a light unto the nations. Not to wag a finger and say we're better than you and this is how you should do things. Not to say God picked us and not you. But instead to heed the words of prophets like Amos and Micah, who talked about God's desire for his people to live righteously, to do justice, to follow his way. And by living that way, they would be a light to the nations. Now, this call from 2,500 years ago, I believe, is still potent today. And it is one that is issued to our community and to each person here. And what a time to think about this. As today and tomorrow, we and many communities across the country will gather together to remember the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. And we will think about how he stood up and spoke for justice and for what was right. And he spoke to the nation, challenging it to make its ideals real. Not just pretty words that are spoken, but actually to live as a people who took seriously the promises of the founding of this country. Now, our nation has long thought of itself as being exceptional. But if there is to be truth in this claim, then we would do well to remember where the idea first came from. And that was our Puritan forebears. And they did not believe that this was going to be a special community because somehow we were going to be stronger than everybody or have a larger economy or a cultural machine that would be able to take over the world. No. America would be exceptional because it was going to live a certain way. We are a country that is not founded on ethnicity or race or nationality or geography, but on an idea. And those ideas of freedom and liberty are rooted in concepts like justice and mercy and righteousness. And it is when we work to make those values a reality that our country is able to live into its promise. And we, as a community of faith, are able to offer a witness to the wider world of why what we preach matters. This morning, all of the music we have been singing comes from the African-American worship tradition. And we think about the struggles and the suffering and the pain that gave birth to these songs. And in the midst of the darkness and the despair that we really can't imagine, people, men and women, were able to hear God's word and lift up a word of hope and perseverance and possibility. So what about us here? What are we going to do today? What are we going to commit ourselves to on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend? Are we prepared to hear the word of the God who has known us since we were in our mother's wombs? Are we prepared to try to do great things? We can take great pride in the progress our nation has made over the past decades. But the truth is, we are still wandering in the desert. And if we think that we have arrived at our destination, then we are kidding ourselves. We are merely seeing a mirage. And we are letting ourselves be fooled. We have yet to cross the River Jordan. And we don't know when we will. But we can hear the words of the prophets who came before us and draw inspiration from what they said. And we can continue to look forward and to struggle and to journey together. We can commit ourselves to the pursuit of justice and righteousness and mercy and inclusion and love. And in doing so, know that we are engaged in holy work. And that just possibly, because of God's grace, we will be able to be a light unto the nations.